You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News, and today I'm not talking about any vets. I'm not talking about any starters. It is the future of the Pacers, baby. The youth movement is here. We're seeing 22 and 23-year-olds play every minute of the rotation, yet this team still kind of sucks, and the trade deadline's in 2 weeks. There's a lot to get to with this team, and I can't think of a better person to talk to close to the trade deadline since football and the Colts are finally done, and I can encroach on his Sundays now. From 1075, the fan, I had to practice not saying 1070, Mr. Kevin Bowen himself, and the morning show as you hear him with Jake Query every weekday. Kevin, how's it going, man?
Well, what's up, man? I am happy to be on. This is part of my daily ritual. Recording these podcasts usually late at night, and when I wake up about 5 a.m., I immediately dial you up. So glad to be on it. And yeah, this is like best case Pacers for me right now. At least Saturday night was really competitive in spots, super young, and you still lose. That's music to my ears right now.
That seems to be the common fan perspective, is that Suns Pacers was like the perfect game. They're within six in the fourth quarter. It's fun. You can kind of breathe some life into yourself of like, yeah, maybe we can win. And then you lose and they're the best team in the league, so it doesn't matter. But you look at the end and, you know, everybody's favorite, Lance has 17. Duarte has 17. Goga has 16 and 11. O'Shea Brissett has 10 and 5. Like, all these dudes who are sub 25 are playing a lot right now and are playing pretty well. They beat the Warriors and the Lakers last week, which both of those individually were the most surprising win of the season on back-to-back nights. It made no sense. So, Kevin, is that kind of where you're at? Do you feel like with this team, and we'll talk about some of the young guys individually, but like this right now, you know, obviously the starters will come back. We know what the Pacers are. They'll try to win, but this is like the best thing that could have happened to them, honestly, for a few weeks?
Yeah, and honestly, I think this is something that just – you hate it as a fan that it's come to this, but I do think this is the best case scenario for the rest of the season. I won't make many Colts references on this podcast, but I do feel like when you're looking back at the Colts season, it was a failure in so many ways because you missed the playoffs, you don't have an answer at the most important position in sports and quarterback, and you don't have a first round pick. So when I look at the Pacers right now, I'm thinking in all likelihood, they're going to miss the playoffs. You need to make sure that you secure, I think, as high of a lottery pick as possible. And then, you know, 2 weeks from Thursday, I'm so excited about what the next 2 weeks could be. Have some injury situations, you know, probably hindered some of those plans and how rich those packages could be and what they get back, certainly. But I think what you see from Brissett, what you see from Goga, what you see from Isaiah Jackson, obviously Duarte's done it all year long. I think that's exciting. I think it's really exciting. It's not like this needs to be a total rebuild, blow up, anything like that. I think there are some young pieces that you really like. There are even some older pieces that you like, of course. But still, I think right now that's where I'm at with this season. What are they, six games, I think, out of the play-in?
Yeah, miserably
health, far. Yeah, health continues to be a huge question mark. So, yeah, I am all aboard to play the young, and losses are not the end of the world, which I hate saying as a fan, you know, and like, I get why people are frustrated by that aspect, but I think it's needed to get potentially – you know, a new era of Pacers basketball started.
It's ironic that, you know, for the tanking crowd who's like, play the young guys, they play the old guys from, what is it, December 15th through January 17th and win three games with the old dudes. And then right. They switch to the young guys that everybody's like, yeah, play them to tank. And they win two games like immediately. It's like, wait, these kind of feel like conflicting goals almost. I don't know how tuned in you've been with this team for the last week or so as they've been out west and playing at ass o'clock in the morning, but the fun guys have been playing. Like you said, we went through a lot of the names. Duarte's been awesome. Goga's been awesome. Isaiah Jackson, so fun, especially in that Lakers game. He was just blowing up some plays and had some sweet switches on the campaign and Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Like, he's been awesome. And Brissett, obviously, he's been a stay in the rotation for a while. Has any young guy stood out the most to you in the span as they've kind of navigated through some good play recently?
Yeah, I actually kind of want to touch on all of them, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I mean, Duarte, like, when he hit that little bit of a wall, you know, whatever, 15 games in the season, 20 games in the season, I was kind of like, all right, is he going to get back to what we saw at the start of the year? Which, like, those expectations were absurd. But, I mean, he set the bar incredibly high. And then I feel like he's gotten back there. And I love the fact that right now, Tony, like, he is the lead guy and he's been able to handle that. And he just makes big shots. And there's a swagger about him that I really, really like. I love the background. I love the makeup. I think that's so critical in him wanting to be here and him, you know, maybe have even a little higher ceiling than I thought. I like the pick a lot at the time, him as a player. The age is what worried me, but I probably was a little bit unfair in that criticism. You know, Goga, I just – maybe it was – what was the first game out west? Was it the Clippers?
Clippers, yeah.
So I think he played 20 minutes plus in that game. And I remember looking up after that night. I was like, how many times has he played over 20 minutes in his career? I
like
think
five.
It was 10, which shocked me that it was that high. and I assume he's played 20 minutes every night since then. So I assume it's four straight of 20 minutes, or at least very close to that. I guess maybe when he got ejected, I don't know, maybe he didn't reach a 20 minute mark, but basically it's just so necessary. He needs consistent clock. I mean,
100%.
I think so oftentimes in professional sports, you see draft picks happen and you forget about, like, they need to be evaluated on the exact stage that you need to evaluate them on. Like, they can't be the G League. It can't be mop up minutes. At some point, particularly with Euros or any international guy, you've got to get him out there. And the fact that Goga is getting this consistent run, and, you know, for the most part, I think it's going to continue. You know, we'll see how long Domas is out, but I think that's been awesome to see. You know, I've always loved his feel. I've always loved just how he looks offensively. Now there's still times he looks a little bit lost at different points, but whatever, that's fine. Jackson, ever since Rick Carlisle started gushing over him, I've always been like, give me more. Like, let me see what Carlisle sees. And I feel like we're starting to see some of that. And then O'Shea Brissett, it was always a mystery to me why he wasn't playing, you know, consistent stretch 4 minutes early on in the season.
Yeah.
So that was puzzling. But, I mean, all four of them, Tony, I think in each of their own, you know, different ways, they've really stepped up here over the past week or so. And, you know, it sucks that it takes injuries to other people for this to happen. But that's the reality of the situation that you're in. And at the end of the day, I think it's the best thing possible for the Pacers right now.
Yeah, Duarte as a 1 or a 1A, whatever he's been on this road trip, it doesn't matter. 20 points per game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting 53% from the field, hitting half his threes. He's been a positive in the plus-minus in 3 of the 4 games, and against the Suns, he's a -1. So basically even or better in every game. That is the number one most encouraging thing from this to me, is that the most promising guy, I don't think he can be a number one option on, like, the best team ever. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. He's a rookie. He's been really good as a guy that they can rely on with the ball to finish plays. He's burst through this rookie wall and looking really good, surging out of having COVID and having a child. He looks awesome. I think that's a really big takeaway. It's only 4 games. Obviously, hitting a bunch of your threes is going to make your stats look fantastic. But that kind of surge, if you're the Pacers and you're thinking, man, what does the next iteration of the good Pacers look like? Now you can be a little more confident, at least, that Duarte can be very heavily involved as a guy on that team. I think that's been really big. Goga, though, has surpassed my expectations more than Duarte. Not that I not thought Goga was great. I've always been higher on Goga than most of the fan base. But he's never been able to play 30 minutes 2 games in a row is really impressive for him. He's finishing everything around the rim. His defense looks really good, really good. 7 rebounds a game for him is something he's always struggled with, is that positioning. He's also been a plus in a lot of those games. He's looked really, really good. So those two guys in particular have looked great to me. And the thing with Goga, with the minutes you mentioned, is, like, I get playing Tabonis a lot every game. And if they were like a 50 plus win team, then yeah, maybe there's no role for Goga, but they're not. They're not good, right? You have to be finding a role for this lottery pick. So him over expectations has been great. Isaiah Jackson runs like he could play in the NFL. I mean, I'm not saying he could or anything, but the way he moves just blows my mind. He's so fast. He can stay in front of anybody. His arms are so long. Getting 2 stocks a game in under 15 minutes is unbelievable, especially for a guy his age. And Brissett plays every night. It's like, this is it. This is what they need to find going forward. I don't know if all of them need to be playing every game necessarily, because, like, Turner and Sabonis are both only 25. That's still young, whichever one of them is keeping is still young and a part of the core. But to finally have found a role for these guys and to have them show all at the same time playing together, which is also a big part of this, that they can succeed, is, like, it finally feels like a turned page. And I know it's getting a little ahead of myself. It's only been 4 games. Like, it all could fall apart very quickly. But I think this is one of the most promising weeks of the Pacers season, even though they only went 2-2.
No, I couldn't agree more with that. Specifically on Goga, I guess, you know, I think you and I were both there, or at least I feel like you were there the night he got drafted, and they felt like he could play day one. Or they felt like his rim protection, I think, was the one trait they really thought could translate early on. Yeah. So, you know, I remember leaving the St. Vincent Center that night thinking to myself, all right, at some point you are passing the torch from Miles Turner to Goga Batante. I don't know if it's going to work seamlessly, but that to me was the thinking with the brain trust of can stretch the floor, feels like the rim protection can translate, you know, very, very quickly. So at some point, you know, you're going to trade Turner and, you know, whatever. Sabonis will be the starter. Gogo will be the first big off the bench, you know, however that's going to look moving forward. So to your point about, you know, Turner and Sabonis, 25 years old, like, yes, they deserve to play. It comes back to the roster construction for me of just like,
yeah,
when you take a center, it's so difficult to find that guy minutes, you know, like Berset can play the three in a pinch. Duarte can be a three or a two. LeVert can be on the ball and can play off the ball. Brogdon can be on the ball. Like, you know, for the most part, you're really landlocked with Goga, Turner, and Sabonis. I know they've obviously tried with Turner and Sabonis both in the starting lineup, but to me, it's just been a disservice to your assets, to steal Kevin Pritchard's word, of there's so much invested in the front court, you aren't helping out your backcourt enough, or wings. I kind of slot the wings into the backcourt as well. So just seeing Goga out there just kind of gives me hope of, like, I've been a little bit more Trey Turner than Domas, and I'm of the thinking, because, again, Goga's skill sets somewhat similar to Turner, nowhere near the rim protector that he is, but those traits to me align a little bit more. So what I have seen here in this, you know, glimmer, but, like, I think he could be a first big off the bench for a, you know, pretty good team. Like, nothing has really changed my thinking in that. Now, staying healthy and, again, doing it for multiple weeks, all of that needs to be there. But I would agree with you. I've been highly encouraged by some of the young pieces that have played.
Hey, guys, let's take a short little break to talk about two great groups of people. First up, the good folks over at Truebill, because do you know why free trials renew without your consent? Because it is a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill, however, makes it super simple. Link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, and you have a Truebill concierge available to you whenever you need them to cancel your unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. Don't fall for subscription scams anymore. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA to join over 2 million users that Truebill has helped save over $100 million. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Let's also talk about the great folks over at Built Bar, because it is the new year, which is all about New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, you got to include Built Bar in your plan. They are making protein bars that taste like candy bars, but are way, way healthier and way better than candy bars. 100% covered in chocolate protein bars that are super delicious. They come in so many good flavors. There's something for everybody. I love the peanut butter brownie one, but there's one for everybody. The mint brownie one is delicious as well. They're so good, you'll want to eat it. And the fact that they're healthy makes it great for your resolution. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Way healthier than a candy bar. You've got to try them out this new year. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Yeah, and I think with Goga stepping up too, like, if they were a little bit cold feet now about trading Turner right now because the offers might be a little worse because of his foot thing, maybe now they're like, okay, you know what? Goga's actually good enough to step in right away, that maybe that makes him a little more confident. And it's just another consideration for them, and another reason you wait all the way up till the deadline. And I don't know if they know they'll have an offer now that will still be there at draft time, which makes them wait. Like, that kind of stuff all matters. But Goga playing well certainly can encourage them to say, okay, we've got a quality center rotation. And they can say, hey, if Goga gets hurt, look at Isaiah Jackson. He's also kind of good. Right. Everything is rosy in trading a center land for the Pacers. Let's pivot from the young guys, because like you and many other local media have been rightly critical of this team all season, I think, for their 17-30 team that is paying the 15th most money and trying to win. Just give me the one paragraph Kevin Bowen impressions of this Pacers season.
Yeah, I thought it was just a massive mistake running it back personnel wise. You know, force feeding it down the throat of Rick Carlisle is probably too harsh of a statement to make, because I think Rick certainly had some say and wanting that, but waiting until now to where after the deadline, you're going to lose leverage on Turner. You know, that's the reality of the business when an expiring contract is coming up. So I just thought that was a risk that I felt like we knew the answer. So that to me, I think has been frustrating. And then just, you know, TJ Warren and Malcolm Brogdon, unfortunately, we've been here before. You know, they were available at the prices they were available in Phoenix and Milwaukee for reasons. And unfortunately, I think the health is the number one, you know, reason on both of their respective career arcs. For Brogdon, and maybe I'm a Notre Dame basketball fan, so I probably saw Brogdon a little bit more. Well, hell, I guess I saw Warren too. But Brogdon's collegiate career was largely, you know, defined by his health in terms of, you know, where he ended up being drafted. So I didn't get the extension at the start of the year at all, and now we're seeing it. I mean, he's going to miss again a quarter of the season, if not more, and that's just par for the course with him throughout his career. So it's just disappointing to me in that, like, I felt like this conversation we're having here on January 23rd as we record this, like, I would have said those same things. And hell, I remember, I think we did an offseason pod. Like, I feel like I said that in, you know, September or October of, like, I feel like there's a defined ceiling, and that is concerning to me of, like, a coach is not going to cure all. McMillan, Bjorkren, they had their own individual issues with this current group. But again, a coach to me was not going to walk in here, snap his or her fingers, and all of a sudden you're the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. So that's what's disappointing is, like, you've missed out on some opportunities, I think, to take advantage of guys. You still have guys on good contracts, but in better situations to move some pieces and retool some things.
I was more receptive to running it back than a lot of people because of how good they did in 2019-20. But if you had told me before the season started, hey, you're going to be doing a podcast on January 23rd, and you will still have never seen Caris LeVert and TJ Warren play together, then I would not have been as receptive to running it back because you're never going to know anything about the team you have because, like you mentioned earlier, Turner's deal becomes less valuable in 2 weeks from today or 3 weeks, whatever, it doesn't matter. Soon, and then all of a sudden your construction has to change and you have these young guys who need to play and like Jeremy Lamb's going to be off the team next year. Like all this stuff that there will be definitely less of this team on next year's team. Like the continuity won't be there. If you knew that you couldn't fully get a grip of what you have, then what's the point? What are you running it back for? Just hope that Carlisle can. And the thing is, Carlisle has gotten two bigs to work. He's gotten the best out of that lineup than any coach they've had recently. It's the other stuff that's not working. So, yeah, given the facts that TJ Warren has not played and they can't even evaluate, like part of the reason they ran it back is like they said, oh, we haven't seen this team play together. Like, yeah, I'm receptive to that. Maybe it does fit, but they still haven't seen it. It's January 23rd. We have no idea. We've seen the four starters like 20 times this season out of 47 games. So, It's weird. It's not like a lost season, thankfully, because the young guys are popping a little bit. Duarte looks like a future piece, but it could have been close to that if Duarte was another missed pick for this front office. And in that realm of this season is not a disaster, but it's pretty bad. They wanted to be good, and they're 13th in the East. Everybody's hurt right now. What do you feel like if you're Rick Carlisle, if you're Kevin Pritchard, and obviously the deadline's coming up, which could kind of alter how you'd answer this question, but how would you prioritize the Pacers' goals for the next 3 months until their season ends?
It's all about kickstarting the retool. That's 1,000% where my mind is at. Probably heard me say this, like on the morning show. I'm super excited to see what happens over the next couple weeks. Like to me, that's intriguing, curious time that fans should be excited about. And I know this is not a 48-minute excitement you get inside of Gainbridge Fieldhouse or, you know, like you said, Tony, staying up and watching the games against the Lakers, against the Warriors. I know it's a different excitement. And it's not the same as wins and losses. So I totally understand if there are some fans out there that are like, I'm sorry, I just can't get into whatever, the trade and the retool. Like, I cheer for wins no matter what. Fine. But the goal to me would be – I haven't been as big of a, like, move LeVert, but it seems like there's so much momentum with that, you know, it seems like he's going to get moved or at least, you know, he's the most likely of any of the backcourt guys – quote unquote, or wings. I don't know, maybe Jeremy Lamb, but I think you got to move one of the two bigs. I know the injury situation complicates some things there, but I would probably move LeVert. And I think the goal is find a former lottery pick. You know, we brought up the Magic package for Vucevic, you know, what the Bulls sent to them. I know it's not that rich, but I would kind of like something in between that and what Aaron Gordon got. What Orlando got for Aaron Gordon when Denver made that deal. So I just think it's about kickstarting that. And then on the floor, you know, the young guys continuing to play significant minutes. I'd love to see Warren out there. I mean, not hold my breath on it, but, you know, with him being a free agent, you know, that's something that you obviously want to see as well. So that's probably where I'm at, moving two of the major core pieces. And can you get some combination of a young former lottery pick a la Domas, a la Oladipo, that is now in your, you know, construction and has a little bit more of a clearer picture to a bigger role? And then can you get another first round pick? Because, you know, if you can get to this offseason with your own lottery pick, another first round pick, you know, preferably high up, and then another Duarte type of lottery pick that's already an actual human being, then I think there are some nice pieces to start putting a new puzzle together.
Hey guys, one more short little break to talk to you about the good folks over at betonline.ag who would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march through the playoffs and beyond. Some huge NFL playoff action this week. Shout out to the Cincinnati Bengals. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you got to do is use our promo code Locked On to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Yeah, that all makes sense to me. And you know, they have a little bit of time till the deadline. I think my goals from now until then is, okay, figure out what fits with what you have. Because a big part of their failings this year is that their team doesn't fit together, right? Like on paper, all these guys are good, right? Like every team they've been on has been like, oh, it sucks to lose this guy, but they're under 500 for the second year. And like, it just doesn't fit, right? So figure out what does fit to the extent you can. You have an opportunity to play some of the young guys who will be a part of your next Pacer team, right? Figure out how they fit together, who fits, who doesn't, and then retool in a way that makes sense. That is what makes sense to me in the next couple of weeks. The rest of the season is about what you said, right? Getting those guys developed, making that team as good as possible. So you know in the offseason, okay, we need this to address this. And it's all about setting up for the next thing. And they have a couple of weeks to set up for the very next thing, which is the trade deadline. And they have a couple months to evaluate how they did there to set up for free agency. And Duarte is good enough now that he'll play a bunch every game, even if they aren't finding minutes for Goga and Jackson. So there will be good evaluation and fit stuff every game, even if they make no moves. But that still seems like a disservice to the guys on this team and the direction this team should be headed at 17 and 30. So I'm with you there that it has to be somewhat forward thinking. Like if they were, I don't know, three games out of the play-in, maybe I could understand them sniffing at something, or they shouldn't, I don't think, to be fair, but I can see them doing it. But they're so far out. Like the plan's a 500 team, basically. It's going to end up being about a 500 team. They're 17 and 30, right? They'd have to have a crazy good finish to get. They have to win 24 of their next 35. Like that's an insanely good team. All of a sudden, that's not going to happen. So, it makes no sense for them to push at all. It seems like their path forward is fairly obvious. But I don't know. It's just it's so weird because we all kind of know the answer to what they should do and how they should prioritize stuff, but Herb Simon didn't say they would do any of that. So I have no idea how they're going to kind of marry up what makes sense and what the direct, like Kevin Pritchard, you know, he is the decision maker, but he is a boss, right? He has to obey the directions of a boss. So how they try to marry up what makes sense and what might be the directives is going to be very tough and interesting.
I mean, literally like when the Pritchard Athletic story ran, whenever that was, you know, that was like your parents letting you go on spring break in high school, you know, like, joy, pure joy. You can't wait to tell your friends, all that stuff. And then the Herb Simon comments come out and it's literally your parents being like, you can't go anymore. Like that, those are like the emotional high and low I felt as like just someone that felt like something different needed to be done and needed to be done. I've probably been more in the last off season. I was big at last year's trade deadline, especially once the Warren injury news came out. I don't know what you could have got for McDermott or, you know, whoever else you could have moved. But I was kind of pounding the table for that. And you know, you and I mean, you certainly nerd out on this, and I probably nerd out on it a little bit more. But, like, I think individually Turner, Sabonis, Goga, even Isaiah Jackson are, you know, range from good to great NBA players. Obviously, Domas being a great NBA player. Those other guys can be very helpful to teams in a variety of roles. So it's not like they're TJ Leaf bust. Like that's not the issue whatsoever. The issue is, and again, I'll try and compare it to the NFL because it's just what, how my brain is wired, but it'd be like the Colts drafting, you know, defensive tackles like in three straight years. Is it a position that matters? Sure. Does it really matter? And like, can you get guys on the field or court in other positions? No, because they just don't have the versatility. Jackson, maybe, but still, offensively, I think he's a bit limited in terms of, you know, trying to stretch the floor at this point. So I go back to the roster construction, Tony, and just feel like guards and wings need new life, something different there, because that's where you got to be really dynamic. I understand Kevin trying to be the contrarian and doing something different, but I think the writing was kind of on the wall, and just the whole wishful thinking for health when you know what Warren's injury career has been, you know what Brogdon's injury history has been. That to me just seemed a little bit like, you know, parent to a kid. I believe in you, which, okay, that's great. You know, that's part of being a parent, but you're running a business here. And I felt like it was just too much emotional investment into these decisions.
So would your trade deadline focus be more on getting those guards and wings now, or to get the picks to eventually get those guards and wings? I can see merits to both of those.
Without a doubt, it's a fascinating question. I think I posed the question to you when you came on last week or whatever, like what skills would you be looking for? Yeah. You know, it'd be nice to find a player, but again, I think I'm realistic in the sense of like, I know how difficult it is to draft in the NBA. I know how difficult it is to swing some of the trades that Kevin has swung. Like, kudos to him. So, you know, contractually, I guess there's a bit of a logjam at point guard right now, but I still think if you get an offer, I mean, no one is untouchable. Nothing is untouchable on this roster, in my opinion. So if you could find something that here's an elite wing, then there's some 3-and-D potential here, or, you know, stretch four, I think is probably something that, you know, it doesn't fall necessarily maybe in the point guard or wing category, but I still think I wouldn't write that off either. I am very open-minded to it. I'm very open-minded to it all. And, you know, hitting on two lottery picks is super difficult. So, you know, maybe the best is you do get, you know, your own lottery pick, another lottery pick, and then come June or July, whenever the draft is, I think it's June, you know, that's when you, you know, maybe package for a veteran or something like that.
I lean slightly pick over player this year because they're so bad. And then you can get the player later with the picks, right? You have the option to push the can down the road, whereas, you know, the player could be better on your team than the other team, and maybe that enhances his value. But I think your options are stronger if you go the pick route. But I understand. I can understand basically anything they do. Honestly, as long as I understand the reasoning for what they do, I will have very little issue with any trades they could make this year, right? As long as it's not like some head scratcher where you're like, that just feels like you're, you know, swapping out the deck chairs on the Titanic or whatever the phrase is. I don't know. But so if that would be that, I think I'll be okay with it. That was a horrible podcast line right there.
I have so many of them. It sounded right to me, but you're asking the wrong guy. Yeah, again, I'm very open-minded to it all, and I'm moving everybody. I mean, to be honest with you, who I can, you know, Lamb, LeVert, you know, one of the bigs. Like, obviously, you can't trade Brogdon. You know, sure, there's still pieces that you like, but I'm answering every call and trying to see, you know, what I can do. And you know, we haven't talked about it a lot, Tony, but I do feel like the Turner injury situation to me is just so – obviously, you know, stinks for him as a player, but I just think it's such a kick in the you-know-what to what you could get in return for him. So that debate about do you hold on to him or not, that's probably a fascinating one that they're having in there. And I'll be very curious to see how the trade offers have changed, if they have, assuming they have.
I would assume they would a little, but I don't know too much. Kevin, I got to ask you the last question I put on our itinerary because I don't know how to answer it very well. I have a very high-level answer. And hopefully more of my listeners can relate to this question better than me. Who makes their conference finals next, the Indianapolis Colts or the Indiana Pacers?
Oh, man.
If I just said who wins a playoff game next, Colts, easily. That would take me 2 seconds. Or a playoff series, whatever, in the Pacers' case. But conference finals, good enough to be in the final four teams in their league. Who's more likely to make their next?
Yeah, you know, I'd probably like – I think I'd say this for a lot of like NFL franchises that are also in the same city as an NBA franchise. I just think there's more parity in the league. One-and-done football.
That is fair.
Is a big reason. And I do think the Colts are closer. I'm not acting like it's going to happen very, very soon, but I just think it's difficult in the NBA and the East. I mean, all of a sudden I feel like the East has some like it's really good. Nice depth to it. Yeah. And this is not your older siblings Eastern Conference. So that is probably another reason why. Again, I don't think the Pacers are like in a normal NBA season, the 13th worst team in the conference. They are awful. And they probably don't have a lot of direction in a positive manner. I don't think the Pacers are there. But at the same time, I do think there's some significant questions to answer, some uncertainty moving forward. So yeah, I would have to go with the Colts on that one.
Yeah. I don't know a ton about football, but I think the answer is obviously the Colts. I mean, the Pacers are not close at all, and the Colts made the playoffs last year and were a win against the Jags away, right? The Jags, yeah. That's who beat them in last week? Sorry.
Yeah, sadly, that's going to be a lot of scar tissue that you're going to bring up there. It is crazy, though. I've like, you know, I think this is the first time in my lifetime that the Pacers and Colts have both missed the playoffs in the same season, assuming the Pacers do.
Oh, wow.
It is crazy. Like that.
You're probably right.
The consistency, the both franchises.
Purdue basketball is the state savior this year. They have to be awesome. Right, they have to be awesome. They need it. We need it.
Yeah, the IU roller coaster continued on Sunday.
Unfortunately, yeah, I can't.
Right, and you were
let's go watch this team that just beat the number 4 team in the country. Holy crap! they can't guard a potted plant tonight. Great. All right, Kevin. Thank you for the time. Where can people follow you and all your stuff and listen to you every single morning?
Yeah, 7 to 10 a.m. every morning here in Indianapolis on Kevin and Query. So just head to my Twitter account, KBowen1070, and the link is in there where you can listen, or 93.5, 107.5. So like I said earlier, man, it's part of my daily routine listening to you, and you do great work. I love the variety of guests you've had on, and your insight second to none. So honored that you asked me to come on, and hopefully there'll be some fireworks here in the next couple of weeks.
When are your bosses going to make you change your Twitter at? You're not 1070 anymore.
You know, I feel like I'm like the just like the old school fan that's sticking to like the retro logo, or you know, I'm not totally bought in on the new marketing scheme. So, you know, hell, I'm not even verified on Twitter, so I probably should just change it. I don't know why I'm not doing it, but
you know what matters about being verified, Kevin? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know. I've tried to apply for it after losing it a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I feel like I'm going through the FBI.
It's the exact same experience. That's why people are like, oh, congrats. I'm like, congrats. It's the same thing. Yeah. I'm still me. Did you not think I was me until now? It's very silly.
I'm like, can I Photoshop a blue check next to me?
Yeah. And I'm posting someone else's work named Tony East this whole time. I can't remember his work. Thank you for the time, Kevin. Everybody, you can follow this show at Locked On Pacers and me at T East NBA. Hope everybody has a great day. We'll be talking Pelicans tomorrow, whatever Lance's new contract is going to be, and Malcolm Brogdon's injury, which somehow I didn't even get to with you today, Kevin. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you then.